Hello and welcome to the Conspiracy Theory Test. My name's Ivan.
And I'm Karen, and you're very welcome to another episode.
Another episode, another week, another Harry and Meghan interview, and still no expose about their family being vampires.
Oh, it's coming, Ivan. Too much. I think we need to focus on the systemic racism first.
Jesus, that's true. Yeah, there's probably bigger fish to fry.
And then I think they're going to be like, look, yeah, systemic racism, paedophile, vampire.
Actually, yeah, vampire. I never thought I'd say it, but vampires are probably the most harmless aspect of this whole thing.
My God, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just, it was, it's so funny though, because, you know, like, I feel like, look, and I don't want to speak for like loads of Irish people, but I feel like a lot of people here would have watched that interview and been kind of like, oh yeah, that checks out, you know. But my mom was saying she was watching Gogglebox the other night, and Gogglebox is great, like, you know.
Yeah,
the British one. But she said it was so not funny, haha, but just mad that they were all watching it, like these British people, and they were shocked, like they couldn't get over what they were saying, like.
Yeah, the big reveal of it seems to have been that there's a whole, what do they call it now? The firm, was us, that there's a whole institute behind this. And it's like, did you think Lizzie was sitting up there at approximately 120 years old and doing her own accounts and her own PR?
Like, yeah, yeah. And somebody said to me during the week, oh, she works really hard though, doesn't she? And I was like, doing what? Being driven to places? Yeah, she's very good at that, isn't she? I was like, being driven to an event and then being driven home. Yeah, it's very hard for her, like, I'd say.
I think she's the opposite of a hard worker. She epitomizes being born into something.
Yeah, and she's married to her cousin, like.
Is she? Philip. Mm. Philip is her cousin, isn't she?
They're distant cousins, apparently, and as are Camilla and Charles.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Apparently. Oh.
Sure, this came up in the vampire episode. They're all related and they're all still very much related.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a mind-blowing thing, but I just love Harry, you know. Meghan's like, I'm not one to rock the boat. And Harry's like, oh, I'm going to tip it over. I am capsizing this bitch.
I love Meghan for coming into this absolute messer who thought it was funny to wear Nazi uniforms to Halloween costume to Halloween parties, and she was like, let's make you into a better person all around.
Yeah, let's negate this now. Although he could have borrowed that from his grandfather.
Yeah, exactly. They're all in.
Probably
on it.
Wasn't a costume at all.
Authenticity, that's what they're going for.
Yeah, it's just been a bit of another mental news week though, hasn't it? Like,
it has. It's been mad. And then on a personal level, it's been mad as well. Because, Karen, I saw a glitch in the Matrix this week.
No way. What happened?
It's driving along. Well, being driven along like the
Much
royal
like
that
the
I
queen,
am.
Much like the queen, Ivan does not drive many places herself.
Or carry my own cash. Yeah, just royal. And driving along either side of us fields, a few woods, and these two women with coffees appeared mid-walk in the middle of one of the fields.
Oh, what?
Yeah, really weird, because surely as we were driving up, we should have seen them emerge from one of the woods, but they were smack bang in the middle of this field. And the weird thing for me was, where did they get the coffee, Karen?
It's funny that you're talking about a glitch in the Matrix, because my theory this week talks about a bit of a glitch.
Oh, these are my favorite ones. This is like a little early birthday present for me.
It is a wee bit of an early birthday present for you. And I was like, I knew doing this, I was like, this actually has you written all over it, but it's quite interesting.
Oh, brilliant. Fantastic. Oh, I can't wait. But before we get into this, was there news from the week that you wanted to talk about?
Just back to my theory last week, I suppose I gave somewhat of a comprehensive view of Tupac's supposed death, but I didn't get a record deal. So Suge Knight, you know, I'm available. I wrapped a whole thing for you. Thanks, Lil Cube, if you're out there.
They just didn't want to come on too strong.
True, but one thing I actually forgot to mention, and the reason I thought of it was because, again, I was reading a book by Angie Thomas called Concrete Rose, an incredible book, and it's a prequel to The Hate U Give. But one of the main characters in it loves Tupac. And they actually, there's a bit in the book where two of the characters are talking about the death of Tupac, and they mentioned the number seven. I had forgotten the significance of the number seven for Tupac. It was a holy number. It's the number of perfection. He died on the 16th, supposedly. What's one and six, Ivan?
Oh, seven. Very good. Love these ones.
He was 25 when he died. What's two and five?
Oh, very good. Consistent.
Consistent. So I'm wondering, is he going to come back to life or just reappear on some mystical date with seven in it? I don't know. There was a few other bits and pieces in and around the number seven, but I just wanted to say that I had omitted that at first because I actually just didn't twig it. But then when I read that book, I was like, oh, I should have mentioned that.
Oh, very good. I love anything like that. Last week was full of anagrams and maths and all that fun kind of deep dive conspiracy stuff.
Yeah, it was classic. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
The polls this week as well, Karen, they were splitters. They're getting more and more controversial.
Ooh. So was it like all even again this week, yeah?
So Houdini's assassination, 75 said that he was assassinated, but there was the outlier, 25% said he wasn't. And then for your theory, Karen, because there was a few options we gave, or you gave rather. So 33% said that the Nazca lines were man-made, and 67% said that there was aliens.
Oh, god damn. Ivan, who did you pay?
67% for our listeners. That's it. It was cheap. It was a deal.
A third off.
So we'll have to see how this week goes.
All right. I'm telling you now, it's not to do with aliens this week. So you can't even give them an option for aliens this week.
We're getting into something we both like, the L glitches.
I love the L glitches. It's a very big glitch.
Oh, brilliant.
Glitches do be crazy.
Right, let's get stuck in, Karen.
Okay, Ivan, this week I want to talk to you about the phantom time hypothesis.
I already love us.
Have you heard of this? No?
No, but it sounds great. Okay. Being enthusiastic.
No, I thought you might have heard about it. But so this was mentioned in my conspiracy book by Jamie King that I often use. Some information is going to come from allthatisinteresting.com, theexpress.co.uk, and Reddit. So the Phantom Time Hypothesis is not to be confused with the Phantom Menace, which I actually didn't think was that bad a movie.
The most controversial theory of all.
I was just about to say we've just lost all of our fans. Like, I don't think it was that bad in comparison to the last Star Wars movie. Just saying.
I can't weigh in here at all, really, but I will stand by you.
Thank you. Stand by your host. Okay, so we have a German historian by the name of Heribert Illich to thank for this wacky theory. And just how wacky is it, Ivan? Well, I'll let you know. According to him and many other theorists, the year 613 was immediately followed by the year 911, which means that between the events between 614 and 911 were either wrongly dated or didn't happen at all.
Oh, okay. Bold claim.
Bold claim. Talk about a glitch, though. Like, blink and you'll miss it.
Blinking, I'll miss centuries.
Oh, there you go. Oh, how long was I napping for?
We've all been there, in fairness.
Yeah. I did that with, like, you know, you wake up the next day, you're like, what is happening?
It's the biggest glitch of all.
Yeah, have you ever seen, has Sherlock ever woken up from a nap and just been like, what's going on?
Yeah, my dog does that. He gets embarrassed and he starts barking to be like, oh, I didn't scare myself, it's intruders, definitely. I'm saving you from them.
I was not having a scary dream.
He actually wakes up barking all the time. It keeps you on your toes.
That's pretty cute.
Yeah.
So once again, for this theory, we have the Romans and some popes to blame.
Oh, brilliant. So,
yeah, allegedly Roman Emperor Otto III, who loves to get blotto. I'm guessing Pope Sylvester Stallone II.
You're just rewriting history to be more interesting.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned rewriting history because I'm going to get to that in a sec.
Okay.
And we might also even have to blame or thank Byzantine Emperor Constantine VII. Okay.
Rolls off the tongue.
There you go. So these three lads allegedly wanted to change the dating system so they could be placed as the main men at the millennium. Hate to break it to you, lads. Westlife were number one on the turn of the millennium.
And were they actually in Ireland?
They actually were. I can't believe I had to look this up.
Dark times. Y2K.
Anything
and
for
Westlife.
Anything for a gag for this podcast.
Yeah. Lord's work.
So, funnily enough, white men wanted to change things to put themselves at the centre. What an interesting concept. I hope it doesn't catch on.
Must have only happened this one time.
Wow. Who'd have thought?
That's why Bigfoot won't talk to them.
This is it. So, essentially, in order to change the dating system that essentially had to rewrite history, but not in a cool way like Lin-Manuel Miranda did with Hamilton, they allegedly also invented Charlemagne, not to be confused with Charmeleon, who wrote the banger Riding Dirty.
Oh, but if only.
If only. So Charlemagne was actually known as Charles the Great. So he was the king of the Franks from 768. And he was also the king of the Lombards from 1774 and the emperor of the Romans from 800. So allegedly this is all made up though. So during the early Middle Ages, he united the majority of Western and Central Europe. And he was the first recognized emperor to rule from Western Europe since the fall of the Western Roman Empire around 3 centuries earlier. So the expanded Frankish state that Charmeleon founded is called the Carolinian Empire, and he was later canonized by anti-pope. What? Like, what's an anti-pope? Is this like your Wario in comparison to Mario? I don't know what an anti-pope is.
He's just married to your uncle Pope.
How do you make a pope feel better after he's sick? Give him an anti-pope.
Yeah.
Ah, too funny. So anyway, he was canonized by anti-pope Pascal and Uncle No Banter. Right, so basically, but they're claiming that because the lads are gerrymandered the lines of time to and made up Charmeleon, that this actually, or Charlemagne, there I go again, that there's this kind of, they've created this phantom time. So there is some evidence to support the hypothesis. There's actually no real archaeological evidence that can be reliably dated to the period 614 to 911. Picks or it didn't happen.
Absolutely. Is this BC or AD?
I'm pretty sure it's BC. No, AD. It's AD.
Oh, because the numbers are going up. Right, which is.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically, yeah. So, and then again, so Illich himself claims the Pope Sylvester II, the Emperor, and Constantine all got together and changed the calendar to make it seem as if Otto had begun his reign in the millennial year of 1000 AD rather than 996. So the reason behind this was that 1000 AD sounded a lot more meaningful than 996, considering AD stands for Anno Domini, or the year of the Lord.
Okay, check those.
Right. So they also claim that the three of them altered documents, created fraudulent historical events and people in order to back themselves up. So he claims then that the Holy Roman Emperor Charlemagne was not in fact a real ruler, but simply a King Arthur type legend.
Okay. So just an idea.
An idea. And he explains then, again, Illich goes on to say that essentially because of all the tampering and the forgery, an extra 297 years were added to history.
It's just like bumping up your CV, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And he's claiming that the 297 years didn't actually happen. Like,
wow.
So there was an inadequate system of dating medieval artifacts as well as an over-reliance on written history. And Illich claims that that's the reason to blame for like this distinct lack of archaeological evidence.
Yeah, this is exactly, it's the old timey picture, it didn't happen.
Exactly. So the years prior to 614 AD were full of historically significant events, as were the years after the 911. However, he claims that the ones in between were unusually dull. Maybe they were going through a pandemic and they weren't allowed to leave their houses.
Yeah, I feel attacked by the phrase unusually dull.
I feel real attacked. I could still learn how to crochet. That's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you just have a slow news century.
Yeah, man. We're not actually. I wish we were having a slow news entry.
That's Jesus. True. Yeah.
So essentially, he also points to the relationship to the Julian and Gregorian calendars, and that's kind of significant. So the Julian calendar was known to introduce the tropical year of around one day per century. And then when the Gregorian calendar came along in 1582, the Julian calendar, because it should have added an extra day per century, there should have been a discrepancy of 13 days.
They're right. Just not accounted for, are they?
So the only 10 days needed to be introduced. So that means then, because there was three days less than they expected, that means there was three centuries that never existed.
Oh, wow.
So that would mean that right now we are actually in the 1700s.
Not a good time to be a woman.
But this is it. So as I said, the Julian calendar stated that a full year is 365.25 days long, but the Gregorian calendar, which is the one that we obviously use now, says it's 11 minutes shorter than that.
Wow, it's very complicated mathematically, isn't it?
Absolutely. Illig also claims that Roman architecture in the 10th century Western Europe was too modern, or is too modern, for the time period in which it was supposedly built.
Oh, yeah, I understand that completely. They were just too damn inventive, weren't they?
Exactly. But this basically suggests that the Middle Ages didn't actually exist at all.
And so everything is just a written account that's a fake written account.
Kind of, yeah. And Illig actually got a bit of support from this as well. Hans Ulrich Niemitz in 1995 wrote a paper that was titled "Did the Early Middle Ages Really Exist?" And he actually claims that they didn't.
Wow. Oh God, okay.
Yeah, so he says in the paper, and this is a quote, "Between antiquity, which is 1 AD, and the Renaissance, which is 1500 AD, historians count approximately 300 years too many in their chronology." So in other words, the Roman Emperor Augustus really lived 1700 years ago instead of the conventionally assumed 2000 years ago.
I can buy us, but it's blowing my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. There is, and like loads of people have kind of claimed that the reason for this like not being true is like astrological. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Records kept by like the Chinese and stuff would actually point to, you know, they were way more accurate.
Oh, always fact checking us.
Yeah, so Chinese astronomy. Chinese astronomy and obviously the rest of the world's kind of ideas of keeping time would suggest that, you know, it's not true.
So then were the ideas of the Middle Ages concocted out of thin air?
I think that's kind of what they're saying, you know, or just that like, or they were too advanced to actually be the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages.
And is that when the plague happened? Because if anything that could point to this just not happening would be fantastic.
I mean, absolutely. But then does it mean that we get to party like it's 1799?
Do we have to give back all of our modern things? Because like, oh, we're not actually ready for those yet.
Or are we just way ahead of the curve?
Way ahead of what we thought we were.
Yeah.
This one is a real head melter.
I know, and I don't know if I presented it fairly accurately, but like it is, mental. It is mental.
I love it though. I believe us.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I actually do, but it's just because I'm not good at maths, so like I kind of have a bit of dyscalculia going on. But I mean, it's plausible.
Well, it seems like there's a lot behind us and a lot of theorists who believe us.
Yeah, like Illig, you know, Illig and a few others definitely did believe it, you know. But again, like astronomical observations then, like the passing of Halley's Comet in 240 BC was recorded by Chinese texts. So obviously that would have happened. Do you know what I mean? Even though the phantom time hypothesis would technically state that the phantom years are not real. However, like it is just a hypothesis.
And the Halley's Comet was recorded accurately time-wise, there's no estimation.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, like this is kind of, it hasn't really been touched on much like it kind of got a bit of footing in the 90s when Ulrich Niemitz wrote that paper, like where he kind of expanded on Illig's ideas, you know. So he's kind of saying the early Middle Ages did not exist. But I like the idea of like potentially making up historical figures as well, like Charlemagne.
I don't think that's beyond belief either.
Mm.
I think lots of characters, like you said about King Arthur, like he was just a figure of imagination.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like I liked him in The Sword and the Stone though.
He was great. He was great. Wait, now was
well cast.
was he the little lad in Sword of the Stone? Was that baby King Arthur?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Cute little lad.
I was about to say something about Colin Farrell character, but I realized that's actually Alexander the Great. So I can't tell my Arthurs from my Alexanders this morning, apparently.
We're stuck on A.
Always stuck on A. So yeah, that's my theory this week, Ivan.
I'm quite into us. I like the idea that we're actually 3 centuries ahead of ourselves just for the sake of bulking up some lad's CV.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I just like the idea of the 3 of them in cahoots. Like, let's just bring it forward. They'll never know.
No one's ever going to ask. You worked. Like, go on.
You get like an increase in your paycheck that's accidental. Like the decimal place is in the wrong spot and you're just like, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
For their sake.
Or if you're trying to fill out your CV and you worked somewhere till the 30th of October, you're like, I may as well say I worked there till November.
Yeah, I have 5 years experience of this. Yeah. Why did you leave your last job? I did not like it.
Yeah. Too much experience, that's what I had.
They did not like me.
Yeah. Generally more accurate. Yeah. That was brilliant.
We mutually agreed.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
But so confusing and such a mind bender of a theory.
Yeah, absolutely. Like just the idea of like, but then again, like the Bible, is that historically accurate? You know, did that all happen in the right time, in the right place?
That's all been put into like Google Translate and then put back into Google Translate and has come out a different way.
But this is it. The idea of like stuff can be changed, history can be changed. There wasn't a word about homosexuality in the Bible until the 40s. So.
Yeah. And then there's all those weird ones like the Judas Gospels that just aren't accepted.
Exactly. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that they did change the dates or whatever to suit their own kind of selfish, self-serving needs.
And you're dead right as well about the over-reliance on written history. That's, you just cannot take that for without archaeological evidence.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a distinct lack of that archaeological evidence.
It's a really interesting one. It does not bode well with my theory this week.
Oh no! Oh no! Not now. We're at the stage where we're just like totally battling it out. We're not even like in the same wheelhouse anymore.
It doesn't. I think it doesn't bode well because mine takes place in around 11:50.
God damn.
But maybe it actually takes place in around 850.
Well, maybe. Who knows?
That could be
laid on me.
Here.
What is this then?
Right, I've got an oldie for you. So Ooh. We're going up around the same time again. The theme's crossing over.
Okay.
It's called. I'm already preparing for you to not be into this one, Karen.
I love it.
It's called The Green Children of Woolpit.
This sounds class.
It's got everything. Creepy kids.
This sounds like a made for TV's movie that you'd find on like Quest or the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
Halloween.
Yeah. Settle in for some low budget hijinks.
Amazing.
So my sources this week are Mental Floss, historicuk.com, eadt.co.uk, The Loremen Podcast, and the Ridiculous History Podcast.
Oh, great sources.
Not to be bigging up other podcasts here when you should be listening to this one. But if you've binged all of these episodes, they're goodies too.
Yeah, I can't wait now. This is going to be good.
So settle in because I'm taking you all the way back to sometime around 11:50. and to a little village called Woolpit, which is in Suffolk, England.
Okay.
So first I have to explain a little bit about the village, Karen. It's called Woolpit, but it derives from the Old English for wolf pit. Oh, it's got wolves as well. That's the other thing it has.
I was going to ask, is it full of wolves? Like,
it seems to have been, and they were a big problem for attacking livestock. So the village people had to set up these, and not the band, the people who lived in this village had to set up wolf pits, which were fairly rudimentary traps. They were just holes in the ground that were about 10 foot deep, and they were covered over with hay.
I would absolutely fall for that trap.
If you put like a Domino's pizza on the other side, I'd definitely find myself in it.
Absolutely, I would fall for that trap.
I think they were just in front of big fields of sheep, and the wolves would come along and be like, oh yeah, just have to cross this little path of hay, and then I'm there. Oh nope, and down the hole.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, it's the silence of the wolves trick. Silence of the wolves, silence of the lambs.
Dances with wolves. That's what you're thinking of.
There's too much livestock. I'm confused already.
So confusing.
So there was nothing else the ordinary about this until one day at harvest time. And like I said, sometime around the year 1150, but there's no actual concrete proof. Oh, there you go. There's no concrete proof of when this exactly happened.
Ah, is there not? No.
There we go. Could have happened yesterday. Because the time didn't exist.
It's like that, but it's that classic Irish, like, the other day. Like, the other day could be 5 years ago.
Like when your parents talk about the little girl and you're like, the little girl's now a barrister, okay?
Yeah, I'm still introduced to people sometimes as, oh, it's my baby.
Yeah. So these reapers, which are people who go along hacking down big overgrowths, they went to check a wolf pit because it seemed to have been used, like the hay was gone. And the villagers reported seeing two children leap out of one of the traps.
How do you leap out of a 10-foot hole?
That's the question. Two little kids. They're probably, 3 foot tall?
Oh, Evan, like, you know actually how much children, creepy children, scare me.
Well, then I hope you've got some comforting blankets around you, because the description of the kids is terrifying.
Oh, gosh. Right, go on.
They were a young boy and a girl, and they were described as wearing unfamiliar clothes. Now, we don't know exactly what about these clothes is unfamiliar, except that they were colours that the villagers weren't used to and materials they weren't used to. So that could be anything from just another colour to full on jeans and a Nirvana hoodie.
Pleather really freaks me out, just in general.
Maybe it was pleather.
Yeah, maybe it was pleather.
That's scary enough on its own. They were speaking an unknown language, but strangest of all, they had green skin. Ugh. Yeah, definitely a pair of creeps. So they were taken in by an esteemed local who was named Sir Richard de Can, and all the villagers came together to try and take care of them because they were lost, and speaking a different language seemed very scared.
And they were green.
Green. Half of the neighbours just came to have a good look.
If that was me, I would not take in a small, strange, green child.
Definitely a different time when people just saw someone and were like, well, you live with me now.
Dems were the days.
A better time. Better time if you were a creepy little green child.
Apparently.
So everybody in the village was trying to take care of them, and they were all bringing them different meals, but the children refused to eat any food for several days. And they only started eating when they were by chance offered some raw broad beans, and they gobbled them up like nothing else.
That's okay. Not feeling well right now.
Yeah, I'd say it was a very creepy sight now, because they weren't cooked. They weren't prepared. They just pulled them out of that skin thing and started eating them like mad. So they gradually adapted to regular food over a long time. Apparently over years it took them to eat proper food and eat with a knife and fork or whatever they ate with back then. And in this time they started losing their green colour. And being the time that it was, as soon as they were looking a bit better, they were rushed out for a quickie baptism.
Oh, they'll get you every time.
It's like food, new clothes, grand. You're still not speaking. Oh, don't have time for that. We'll go.
Oh, you're
on
no
the
one's child. You're no one's child. You're God's child.
He'll take you in. So, but unfortunately, soon after this, it became apparent that the boy was very sick and he died shortly after. Oh. But his sister learned English and explained that where the two had come from, and she claimed it was a land where the sun never shone and the light was like twilight, and this was called Saint Martin's Land. But when she was asked where this was, she said she didn't know.
It's weird.
Yeah,
how does she know where the name of it and not know where it is?
Well, like, she wouldn't know how to get back to us, do you know?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
But when she was asked, yeah, she just didn't know. She said what happened was that her and her brother were helping their dad to herd some cattle. And then they heard some strange noise coming from a cave. And she had guessed since that they were the church bells in Woolpit, because she heard them since and was like, oh yeah, that's the sound I followed into this cave. So they followed the straying cattle into the cave, but they got lost. So they just followed the bell sounds, and then they emerged in Woolpit. Very strange. So
unusual.
Yeah. So after learning English and losing her green hue, she was kind of ready to go out into the world. So she was taken on as a servant in the house of Richard de Cann, and seems to have been given the name Agnes, which, as we all know, if we've watched WandaVision, can only lead to bad things.
If you tell me she's a witch.
Well, we'll put that
been
into
it. Messing up everything. It's been Agatha all along. What a bop.
The best song of the series.
Yeah, I can't believe they spent millions making all those movies and all they had to do was make Agatha all along.
Yeah, we've actually very simple needs in the end, don't we?
We truly do. It's almost as if we can't go anywhere, so the littlest things would entertain us.
Yeah. A boppy theme tune, deadly.
Oh, great, thanks.
So there are some different accounts of where she ended up, right? One claimed that she married a royal official named Richard Barr, and another suggested that she married a man from King's Lynn, which was 40 miles from Woolpit. And the only, yeah, a bit far in those times, hard to travel. But the only consistent report on Agnes's adult life was she was very wanton and impudent.
Oh, they've often said that about me.
Well, frankly, in a time before any modern entertainment and you're in a tiny village, you'd think more people could have done with a bit of wanton impudence.
Oh, that's all anybody wants.
Yeah. So I'll start you off, Karen, with the boring explanation for the sake of balance. So at the time, there was a large amount of Flemish immigrants in Eastern England. And some say that this explains their strange clothes and the unusual language that actually may have been Flemish.
Yeah, I've heard that spoken. It's quite weird to the ear.
Have you? Is it still a live language?
Yeah, they speak it in, I think they speak it in parts of Belgium, but it's a very it's not, because it's not the Belgian like national language, but it would be like small parts of the country would still speak it like.
Right, it's just a little dialect now.
Yeah, it's kind of like Quebecois in, you know, French Canadian.
Oh, okay, or Basque maybe.
Or Basque, that kind of thing, I think, yeah.
Okay, so that would explain why people didn't understand them.
Yeah, 100%.
And then scholars have also speculated that the green hue might have been due to dietary deficiencies.
I was going to say that. That's what I thought when you started talking, because when you said that they started eating more, and then the hue kind of went from them, I was like, well, maybe it was just that they needed some vitamins.
Yeah, it would check out that they were just a little bit green in the gills. Isn't that the phrase?
Oh, yeah. Also, remember when there was that when Sunny D came to Ireland in the 90s, and then you were told that if you drank loads of it, you turn orange.
What came of that? Was that just actually a conspiracy against American drinks?
I know that Sunny D is really bad for you because it's full of the sugar. So unless they were just trying to get us to like, but like, if it was me, I'd be like, I want to drink it now and see if I can actually turn orange.
Yeah, I'm surprised there wasn't more. If TikTok had existed, there would have been a Sunny D challenge.
Oh yeah, let's not give anyone ideas.
I remember as well thinking that it was really healthy because it wasn't fizzy.
Oh, I think we all thought that at one stage, and then because we didn't really look at nutritional information in the 90s.
I don't even know if it was available on them.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was. I think that only came into effect like recently enough.
And I remember,
still ignore that information, but like
sometimes I look at it and it's too confusing. I just forget about it straight away.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear other people thought it was healthy and it wasn't just me gobbling up this like little juicy heroin.
Little juicy heroin, amazing.
Because my parents were like, oh, look at them drinking their juice, that's great, and we were just going through barrels of the stuff.
You're going to be diabetic now soon, any day now.
It's coming, it's just settling into me. So this seems all the more plausible since there was a settlement of Flemish migrants in a village called Fornham St. Martin at the time.
Aha.
But Karen, this theory is not without its inconsistencies.
Okay.
So one is that many scholars find it very surprising that an educated man like Richard the Can wouldn't recognise the Flemish language and instead dismiss their ramblings as gibberish.
But if it's a very, isn't it not a very unusual language? Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, it almost sounds Dutch, but
very
it's not Dutch.
Unusual, but there was these little pockets of Flemish settlements, so it would at least be on your radar. No,
I don't know, like maybe not. Like, could we like ourselves be able to tell the difference between like Spanish and Basque? Probably
definitely
not.
Not tell the difference, but we wouldn't be like, that is a completely, that must be an alien language. You'd definitely recognize that it's some sort of Mediterranean language, I'd say.
Yeah, maybe that's true. Yeah,
so maybe grasping a little for that one. But the Ridiculous Histories podcast estimates that it would have taken the kids 3 days to walk from the most plausible Flemish settlement. So very unlikely that they would have walked that far without meeting anybody else and surviving that long. Remember, there's wolves in these forests.
True. Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
And then, so the food deficiency, that makes sense. And what it's normally hypothesized to be is an iron deficiency. But no theory actually gives a satisfying explanation for their green skin. And none of these theorists could find an actual nutrition deficiency which resulted in green skin.
Huh.
And the last bit is, how did they jump out of a 10-foot deep trap?
Yeah, I still want to know, like, how?
Nothing about being Flemish turns you into Michael Jordan.
No, as far as I'm aware.
So the alternative theory comes from a man. There's a few based on folklore, and there's a few based on as well. Again, this is just all written accounts, which we've already learned the problems about them. Mm-hmm. So, but this the one we're going to focus on is by astronomer Duncan Lunan, and he wrote for a magazine called Analog in the 1960s. And in his piece on the siblings, he hypothesized that they were actually, I bet you could write the book, guess what I'm going to say they are?
Aliens.
Aliens.
Oh my God. I knew it. I knew it was going here the whole time. As soon as you were like green children, I was like, ah, oh, here we go.
So he said that they were probably from a planet that was trapped in a synchronous orbit around the sun.
Ugh.
That presents conditions for life only in a narrow twilight zone between a fiercely hot surface and a frozen dark side. And that is why they said they were from somewhere where there was only ever twilight. And he says that the children's green coloration is a side effect of consuming the genetically modified alien plants eaten by the planet's inhabitants, which is often used as a reason for thinking they are little green men.
Okay.
And that they were accidentally transmitted to Earth during a matter transmitter malfunction.
And they just knew to know that, sorry, they just knew to say that they came from St. Martin's Land.
Yeah, you knew where you were from when you were little, didn't you? You knew your address, but not how to get back there.
Yeah, okay.
No, like if I found a little kid now and they were like, oh, I'm from a Cabra, that wouldn't be unbelievable. But if I asked them, how'd you get back to Cabra? They'd be like, don't know now.
Transmitter, have you got the call I can drop out?
Yeah. What if I go back? I wonder why they never tried to go back into the hole.
Like, well, you know, you've seen one hole, you've seen them all.
Yeah. I don't even know, Karen, if I need to ask if you believe this theory.
No.
The most definite answer I've gotten in this whole podcast. Just no.
Like, no, I don't. It's just... Oh. You should have started with the alien one, lulled me into a false sense of security, and then laid down the facts.
I should have brushed over them very quickly.
You should have rewrote history to suit this.
Actually, yeah, if it's good enough for those guys, why not me?
Exactly.
I brought my ethics couldn't let me not present what I'm calling the boring theory.
Okay, that's fair.
Look, it's fair. I'm not going to be able to argue with you on this one. There's just, for one thing, not enough evidence at all.
I would just love to know, like, alien or not, how do you get out of a temple hole?
Yeah, and especially when you just think you're coming through the other end of a cave.
Yeah, very. It is unusual that they popped up out of nowhere. Definitely.
I wonder now if you can bring it back to the Hollow Earth theory, and they actually fell through the hole.
And they were, or they were sent. They were doing a bit of recon.
Very possibly. And that's why there's only Twilight.
There you go. Maybe that I would buy into.
Okay, let's go with that one. I'll go with that one too.
Okay, recon mission gone awry.
Perfect. Never made it back. Just stuck around to be called wanton, and would have gone back myself now.
Amazing, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for listening to it anyway.
that was good though. In fairness, I know it was great, and I loved that you did, like, you know, drop the alien card. Yet again, it's very good.
A middle-aged alien.
Exactly. No, it was great. I really, really liked it. It was well presented as always, Evan. Thank you very much for that.
And thank you for your wonderful mind-bending one.
Oh yeah, I hope everyone gets to ruminate on that now. And just, I think we've given them a lot to think about this week.
Yeah, have a think about that one. The polls will definitely be interesting on the Phantom Time.
100%. And, you know, just think about the Phantom Menace. Give it a go.
That's actually your little agenda this week.
That is my agenda, just the Phantom Menace.
Well, folks, thanks very much for listening this week. As always, you can catch us mainly on theconspiracytheorytest.com, or you can email us on theconspiracytheorytest@gmail.com. catch us on Instagram as theconspiracytheorytest, or on Twitter as conspiracytest.
Yeah, absolutely. And as always, have a good week. Stay safe and well. Tell all your friends about us. Thanks so much for listening. And yeah, just hope you're keeping well. Have a good one. And thanks, Evan.
Thanks, Karen. I'll talk to you all next week.